immediate conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
You've retired. You don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it 3 more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. Tainted spinach, tainted peanut butter, both big health scares recently, and the FDA knew there were problems.
The federal agency knew for years about contamination problems at spinach farms in California. That E. coli outbreak blamed for 3 deaths, and at a peanut butter factory in Georgia. Congress tomorrow will start hearings on how to enforce food standards.
Correspondent Dan Revive, the Food and Drug Administration, sent a letter to California spinach farms saying it had serious concerns about small outbreaks of foodborne illness. Outbreaks that have been happening since 1995. And an anonymous tip called the FDA's attention to problems at a Georgia peanut butter plant over a year before 400 people got sick. Michael Doyle with the University of Georgia's Food Safety Center isn't surprised.
There are less inspectors, there are less testing labs. In fact, FDA is planning to close down some of its testing labs.
The administration's budget calls for $11 million more for food safety programs next year. Critics say the agency needs a lot more. Bells rang on the campus of Virginia Tech today. They rang 33 times, one for each person killed on that campus a week ago today.
This is Jim Crisul of Blacksburg, Virginia. With classes underway again at Virginia Tech, students are showing a mix of reaction. Edward Spencer is a vice president for student affairs.
So we're seeing the resolute, the confused, the angry, and the numb, typically what you see in a death situation.
One sign things are getting back to normal, some of the back of the lecture hall regulars have already been caught napping.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid isn't letting up on President Bush when it comes to war in Iraq. Reid says Congress will pass a bill setting a deadline for getting troops out. The senator called Mr. Bush out himself, saying there is progress in the war.
The White House transcript says the president made those remarks in the state of Michigan. I believe he made them in the state of denial.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where the response to Senator Reid amounts to, we're in denial, you're in denial.
First of all, he's in denial about the enemy that we face.
Spokeswoman Dana Perino went on to say that Reid was also in denial about the nature of the conflict in Iraq, the new U.S. strategy there, and about his timetable for a U.S. withdrawal. He called it defeat and said it would be a death sentence for millions of Iraqis who voted for a free and democratic society.
Boris Yeltsin being remembered as a reformer, a man who guided the Soviet Union into the country we now know as Russia. The former Russian president died today. He was 76 years old. Wiccan veterans will be able to mark their government graves with the symbol of their religion now. After a lawsuit, the Department of Veterans Affairs is agreeing to allow the pentacle to be shown on graves. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Beverly.
Yes, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I locked my keys in my car. My car's running.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's get the doors open. What's the 4-digit PIN number on the account?
674.
In most cases, OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors.
You are the best. This is the first time I'm trying this. I gotta see how this works.
2004 white Trailblazer?
Chevy Trailblazer, yeah.
All right. You said the vehicle's running right now, right?
It's running, and I put my key in, and I close the door.
Okay, let me go ahead and send the signal through.
No problem. There we go, baby. You're the best. I love you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Do I get charged for that?
No, not at all. It's part of your service.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Remote door unlock is just one of many OnStar services available on over 50 GM models. The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Wall Street closed down today, down about 42. It ended the day just under 13,000. A new study shows that women who've had an abortion aren't at a higher risk for breast cancer.
It's a controversial topic.
There have been a number of studies in the past that have suggested that there is a positive link between induced abortion and breast cancer.
Harvard researcher Karen Michaels, in a large new study, finds neither abortion nor miscarriage increases breast cancer risks in middle-aged women. It appears in the archives of internal medicine. A handful of states have laws requiring doctors to provide some form of information about breast cancer to women seeking abortions. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
If you're overweight, you're costing your boss more than skinny Winnie. A new study says the chubby among us rack up twice as much when it comes to workers' comp claims. Duke University researchers also say the most overweight workers also have 13 times the number of lost workdays than the thin ones. I'm Karen Riegel, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO now. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO now for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO now. Call now.
Peter B. Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm rested, relaxed, and ready to take on another week of progressive talk radio here on the left coast.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces.
We've got a lot to talk about on the program today. Up first, we'll do our Media Watch segment. Standing by to check in with our contact at Media Matters for America. Also on today's program, about half hour from now, we're going to meet an Iraqi who teaches at New York University. Professor Sinan Antoun will join us. I want to talk about this proposal to build a wall. The Maliki government stopped it over the weekend, but they want to build a wall to separate parts of Baghdad. And that's a ghettoization, I guess early efforts to partition and separate the warring parties. We'll also talk about the unusual event in Mosul over the weekend, where 21 individuals who are members of a religious group that's not Muslim, not Christian, not Sunni or Shia Muslim, but they're called Yazidis, were pulled off a bus and slaughtered. And this is a new element of the sectarian warfare in Iraq. It's news to me. And we'll get some commentary on that from Professor Antoun coming up in about half an hour. Also on today's program, next hour, I'm pleased to bring you the return of the Reverend Robin Myers. He is a powerful Christian from Oklahoma City, where he's pastor of the Mayflower Church. And he published a book last year called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. We're going to talk about the events at Virginia Tech. We'll talk about the president's posture on the war. We'll talk about the Supreme Court ruling on abortion, and probably other issues will come up with Reverend Myers as well. So that's coming up next hour. And as usual, our free speech zone in the third and final hour, where we feature your phone calls, and you can check in on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And somewhere along the way there, we're going to talk to the Arcata City Council member, Dave Meserve, who tomorrow travels to Washington to present the proclamation passed by the Arcata City Council calling for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And that will be presented at the Capitol on Wednesday, where there is an event gathering various individuals, including John Nichols from The Nation, who was on our program as recently as last week. That's what's ahead here. You can call in anytime the urge strikes you. Talk to me and our guests as the program rolls on. That toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. And you can always email me 24-7, peter@peterbcollins.com. Joining us from MediaMatters.org today is Eric Bollert. You may remember his work at Salon. Last time I talked to Eric was about some excellent reporting he did online there regarding the behemoth Clear Channel. He's also the author of the book Lapdog, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. Eric, pleased to have you on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Did you recover from that awful week last week? I guess you and the Media Matters folks have to watch all that coverage. You don't have the option like me. By Thursday or so, I had checked out of the Virginia Tech story altogether.
Well, that is one of the advantages. I mean, I didn't have to watch it for my job, so yeah. I almost checked out immediately.
Yeah.
So, you know, the press just doesn't, particularly cable news, doesn't really have a stop button.
Yeah, when they go wall to wall, I kind of hit the wall pretty fast.
They can't stop themselves, even if they're doing some good. I mean, you know, even if they're doing some good on the cuff reporting, they just almost impossible to pull back until it's about 2 days late.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and NBC went into extra innings. Now that some of the dust has settled, what's your thinking? Should they have released the portions of the videotape from the shooter that they did at the time they did?
Yeah. Actually, I think this is one of the most interesting media debates we've had, just because the media debates fall into sort of the knee-jerk camps, and either liberals agree and conservatives disagree, and everyone sort of runs to their corner. I'm finding myself in disagreement with a lot of people I respect who have written things on the Huffington Post and other places about how NBC should not have. I find it almost impossible to look at that videotape and not consider that news and the traditional who, what, where, when, why. I don't know how NBC would have gotten that tape in the mail, handed over to the prosecutors, and then told viewers that they weren't going to do anything with it.
Well, I could write the press release right now. Out of respect for the families and loved ones of the victims, we are going to hold this tape for a week or two. We're going to review it. And, you know, when some of the emotion has, died down is the wrong phrase, when some of the emotion has ebbed, then we'll take a look at this and analyze it and consider it for what it is. But
I would disagree in that I don't think news executives are in the business of I think it becomes dangerous when news executives get in the business of determining what the best welfare of the country is or what the emotional temperament of the country is, or when it's respectful or not respectful to show footage. Obviously, if this was footage of the actual killings, if this was really violent imagery, I mean, in a sense, you would argue that him posing with these guns was violent. But, you know, I mean, if this wasn't an image of inside, you know, cell phone video inside the classrooms while these kids are getting mauled, it was this kid's sort of manifesto. And again, I think immediately everyone was wondering, why did this happen? How did this happen? Who is this, you know, monster, really, what he created himself? And so I think that helped answer some of the questions, I think.
Well, but let me take you back to the Unabomber, all right? He had thousands of pages of his rantings. And once they were acquired by the prosecutors, the investigators, and the media, they did not move to release them overnight.
Right.
They ultimately, you know, part of them were published in some sort of a hostage trade-off. I'm trying to remember the details of
that. Right, but the difference there was he was still at large, and the feds were still trying to track him down, and that did become delicate because he demanded that, you know, his manifesto be printed in the Times, and I don't think any news organization ever wants to be in the middle of essentially what's a negotiation between someone who's on the lam and prosecutors who are chasing him. I actually see a connection with the coverage in the war, and I think one of the unfortunate developments during the Iraq War was this notion, this new standard the press took in terms of deciding what is not appropriate. And a lot of the network channels and the cable news channels and even the newspapers pulled way back in terms of the, particularly if we're talking the first 3, 4, 5 months of the war, they pulled way back in terms of the bloodshed they would show, in terms of any American soldiers in harm's way, wounded, killed, anything like that. And the notion was, well, we're going to do this out of respect. I think the subconscious was, we don't want to be accused of being unpatriotic. I think years ago, news executives didn't think like that. And I think they thought, what's news is news. Obviously, you're never going to show video of, you know, of soldier getting shot or something like that. I mean, the point is not to shock people, but the point is to accurately relay the news, and I don't think the press did that during, you know, the invasion, and part of that was with a real shyness in terms of staying away from graphic imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's this connection, and I get nervous when news, you know, if newsrooms ever decide, they, you know, instead of becoming news executives, they become sort of our grandparents and deciding, well, we don't feel it's right yet. We don't feel people are ready for this now.
But Eric,
I think news is often disturbing and sort of raw, but it's not their job to decide, you know, are the American psyche is ready for X, Y, or Z.
I can understand your point, but yeah. I don't think we're at any risk of, you know, nanny journalism taking over. To me, the risk is on the other side. That not only did NBC exploit this, you know, they didn't even report the Supreme Court abortion decision all of Wednesday evening. All they did was play the tape and have the news president come on and defend it.
Yeah, and, I mean, they certainly, you know, and they plastered that logo in the bottom corner, so no matter what channel it aired on, it said NBC.
Right,
certainly, you could certainly criticize them for, I think, a degree of self, self-aggrandizement and mm-hmm. Turning this into an advertising shtick.
But we need to, I think, educate people that you can't go out and shoot a bunch of folks, send a videotape,
and be rewarded
by having it broadcast as widely as it was.
Well, I think, you know, the sad, demented fact is if you go out and kill 32 people, you're going to be famous no matter what. The question is how famous. I mean, you know, if someone had instead mailed to NBC home videos of the killer, you know, those are images that are going to be played endlessly on TV. The fact that he was demented enough that he wanted to create his own sort of rambling farewell, and that was aired. I think NBC did what is sort of expected of news. Did they handle it perfectly? No, I don't think so. But it would make me nervous if news executives start deciding to put things like that, in a drawer for even a day or a week or so. Because again, it makes me nervous.
Well, and if they had done that, we would accuse them of doing it for sweeps, which start next week. Eric, we're going to take a break and return in just a moment. I want to play a segment from Richard Perle's contribution to the PBS series last week. It's being offset perhaps by Bill Moyer's special on PBS this week. And if there's time, we'll talk about the lack of coverage of the Supreme Court ruling. Eric Bollert is our guest. He's from Media Matters. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. 1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Infiniti Q56, a luxury SUV that's at the top of its class. This is a four-wheel drive, seven-passenger vehicle that's perfect for adventures with a trailer on the back. The Q56 has a muscular and thirsty 5.6-liter fuel-injected V8 engine and a five-speed automatic. Performance is impressive with power, acceleration, traction, and handling. Inside, it's loaded with all the electronics and creature comforts you'd expect, plus power tailgate, intelligent cruise control, DVD with wireless headsets, nav system, and good cargo room with fold-flat rear seats. It's $13,000 less than the Escalade, and I like the Q56 better. By the numbers, the 2007 Infiniti Q56 gets about 13 miles in the city, 18 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $57,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Eric Bollard at Media Matters for America. Their powerful website is mediamatters.org. And I wanted to turn next, Eric, to what's going on public television. I am delighted that this week Bill Moyers gets 90 minutes to present a special about the I believe is called The Lies That Led Us Into Iraq. But last week there was a four- or five-part series called America at a Crossroads, and I ducked that one, too. I, from the advanced reports, it just seemed to me like it wasn't going to be a balanced piece of reporting. Did you get to watch it? And
I didn't get to see it. I know Media Matters did a lengthy dissection of it today and talking about, you know, pre-BF gave Pearl an hour to basically, you know, air yet again these debunked theories about, you know, Iraq's WMD and its connection to Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a good news, bad news thing, like you said. The bad news is, you know, well, first you have to back up and really take a look at what's going on behind the scenes and sort of the extraordinary political pressure public broadcasting has been under, particularly under the Bush administration. You remember a couple years ago, Kenneth Tomlinson, when he was overrunning public broadcasting from within the administration, led a very public crusade saying that public broadcasting had a liberal bias.
Mm-hmm.
Those magic words. So, you know, that has an effect. And frankly, I think that's why we end up seeing Richard Pearl, who has been wrong about the war in every possible way, you know, sort of given an hour. I mean, it wasn't a complete just him. I mean, there were critics of the war, and he had some pointed discussions with.
Well, and
but it does seem a little odd. Well, who, you know, you get someone who's wrong about the war and give him an hour to not fess up, but to make up, to restate his argument again.
Right.
But the good news is the Moyers piece, which I'm actually took part of and am in.
Oh, you did?
And,
good.
And I've seen it, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
So that airs
Wednesday,
9:30 Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be on, you know, certainly every PBS station or virtually all of them.
Yeah.
It's a great piece, very important document that details quite clearly the extraordinary press failing during the run-up to the war.
Let's listen to a bit of a clip here with news anchor Richard Pearl. He's fair and balanced.
The leaders have gathered on the Mall and placed a pair of boots to commemorate every American soldier killed in Iraq. I talked to one of the organizers of the rally, Stacy Bannerman, whose husband served in Iraq.
You realize that within the last 48 hours, I've gotten notification that two more of my friend's children have died because of injuries that they sustained in Iraq. We need to get out of that country. The scandal is that Americans' lifeblood and hundreds of billions of dollars are being sent to sustain an occupation that was never needed for a war based on lies. Why did you think we had to go into Iraq?
All of the intelligence available to us suggested that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Not only available to us, but available to the United Nations, to the French, to the Germans. There were, even Hans Wicks, the inspector, believed that Saddam was hiding things. We all believed that.
Eric, our online BS detector just went into overdrive. As Richard Pearl said that, you know, the intelligence suggested that Saddam had these weapons.
Well, all of the intelligence suggested. I mean, there have been mountains of newspaper articles and more than probably half a dozen books proving that assertion wrong. But the Richard Pearls of the world feel comfortable going on public television saying that all of the intelligence indicated that Saddam had WMDs. I mean, you know, if this aired in like 2004 or maybe 2005, it would sort of skate by, but the fact that it's airing, you know, 4 years after the war, after all this stuff has been mm-hmm. thoroughly debunked, is a little, you know, it's a little disconcerting.
And when Kenneth Tomlinson green-lighted this and provided the funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, they were hoping it was going to show before the 2004 presidential election.
I mean, Tomlinson was definitely trying to cook the books. You know, he wanted to get the Wall Street Journal page, its own show, and he got him that. He wanted to green light some, you know, other shows that he thought would counterbalance PBS. You know, he certainly wanted Bill Moyers off the air.
Well, they put that
he got for a little while.
They put the guy I refer to as that little mother, Tucker Carlson, on, and then he turned against the war.
That's right.
They didn't get their investment on that. Eric, just about a minute remaining, and I wanted to turn to the story that I think got short shrift last week, which is what I think is a landmark decision for me of a negative sort from the newly packed Supreme Court. And when NBC got the tape from the shooter, they went wall-to-wall with that and barely acknowledged the Supreme Court's decision in the news crawl at the bottom of the screen.
Well, there's a connection. I think even without the Virginia Tech massacre, I don't think that story would have gotten big news. And there's a connection because the press is no longer really interested in abortion, and the press is no longer ironically interested in gun control, even after Virginia Tech. These are issues that were very prevalent during the 90s, and for whatever reason, the press has grown bored. They'll blame it on the Democrats, saying Democrats have walked away from the abortion issue and gun control. But the fact remains that the press, I think, has made something of a conscious decision that they're literally just not that interested.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not interested, they're not going to report it.
Eric Bollert, thanks for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Anytime. Talk to you soon.
Visit MediaMatters.org and pick up his book, Lapdog, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. Coming up next, Iraqi-American Professor Sinan Antoon joins us from New York University.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd the Taxi Driver, and I'm hackin' disappointed with you, America. It seems as if we've missed another opportunity to come together and unite against racial intolerance. Too many people seem willing to blame rap music for Don Imus' downfall. And I really don't understand all the anger and animosity towards Al Sharpton. There seems to be a segment of white America that wants to blame black America for Don Imus' remarks. The actual blame lies with CBS, with MSNBC, and with Don Imus and the people that worked for him. And let's place some blame on the people that listen to his show every morning and led him to believe he had to continually push the envelope to satisfy their racial insecurities and racial hatreds. Until tomorrow, I'm Todd the Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Next hour, we'll spend the entire hour with the Reverend Robin Myers. His book published last year is called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. We've got plenty to talk about, but we've only got an hour. Some curious events in Iraq over the weekend. 21 non-Muslims were pulled out of a bus in Mosul and killed. And we've learned about a wall that has been under construction in Baghdad, designed to separate Sunni and Shia. For commentary, we turn to Professor Sinan Antoon at New York University. His teaching and research interests lie in pre-modern Arab Islamic culture and contemporary Arab culture and politics. And he, returned to his native Baghdad in 2003 as a member of Encounter Productions to film a documentary called About Baghdad, about the lives of Iraqis in post-Saddam-occupied Iraq. He co-produced and co-directed that. He is senior editor for Arab Studies Journal, a member of PEN America, a contributing editor to Bonnie Paul, and a member of the editorial committee of Middle East Report. Professor, thank you for joining us today. There we are. I'm sorry, I didn't have you faded up. Now you can greet our audience again.
I said thank you very much for having me.
Okay, it's my pleasure. I run the knobs here, and sometimes I grab the wrong one. First of all, just by way of a little background, from your bio, I glean that you are from Iraq?
Yes, sir.
So tell us your experience. When were you there? When did you leave?
I was raised and grew up in Iraq in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I left in 1991, right after the Gulf War. I had finished college over there, and after the destruction of the infrastructure in 1991, many Iraqis left. And I want to point that out because it's important to understanding a lot of things in Iraq. And then in the 90s, because of the sanctions, most of the middle class left Iraq, and there was massive destruction, which might explain the void and the destruction of the social fabric of Iraq later, and all of the, some of the chaos that you see now. Mm-hmm. Its roots go back to the 1991 Gulf War, and because most analysis about Iraq just looks at 2003 as if history started in 2003 and not before.
Well, in the U.S. and in particularly in our electronic media, context is prohibited.
Yes, exactly, and you know history is. History is something that is neglected most of the time. So I came to the States in 91 and studied here and worked, and that's where I live right now. But I went back a few months after the war to film this documentary in which Iraqis of different backgrounds just speak about their past and their future and kind of complicate a little bit the idiotic binary between love and hate and U.S. and Saddam to show that while many, of course, want Saddam to go, that does not necessarily translate into loving the neocons or welcoming occupation.
Indeed. And how does it feel to see the daily news reports coming in from your native country? And clearly things are not going well. And the Bush administration doesn't have, in my view, the best interests of, you know, ordinary Iraqis anywhere in its agenda.
No, definitely. I mean, it's heartbreaking, not just because I'm from Iraq, but as the news is heartbreaking from other parts. But the daily toll of civilians is really terrible, and the fact that there is nothing in the future that would make us think that things are going to get better anytime soon makes it worse. And also, the sad fact is that many of us who were against this war and who had always been against Saddam warned against this very chaos and did not take a genius or did not take any access to special intelligence to know that this war was built on the wrong premise. And the Bush administration, as I like to say when I'm invited to talk, not only, of course, it doesn't have the interest of Iraqis in mind, but obviously it doesn't have the interest of Americans, civilians and soldiers, because just as in Vietnam, it knows that its policy is wrong, yet continues in a very stubborn and idiotic manner that will cost, sadly, many Iraqi and American lives in the future.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and this phony surge that is underway, at least from the American perspective, strikes me as nothing more than a PR surge.
Definitely, definitely. It's because the model, supposedly the model is this Tel Afar town, as if things worked better over there. I mean, what they do is they isolate one town or one city for a few months and you know, crack down on the civilians, and then they claim that the insurgents are gone. And then that's declared as a success. And then they move away from that town, and it goes back to the chaos it was in before, but that is used as a model. So this whole idea of the wall or of the surge was supposedly used. The model was used in Tel Afar, this city in the north,
right.
And then it was moved to Baghdad. But it's, as you said, it's a kind of a PR stunt, but sadly with really tragic consequences for the Iraqi civilians who are living there.
Well, I've been, in my discussions on this, Professor, I've been citing Talifer and also the bombing, you know, inside the green zone,
yeah,
in the cafeteria of the parliament. These are clear indications that not only the surge isn't working, but it appears to be provoking more daring efforts against the U.S. occupation.
I agree, definitely, because, I mean, the whoever is behind these things, whatever you want to call them, insurgents or whatnot, they're not idiots, of course, and they know that. The more there is rhetoric about how this new plan is going to work, then they are, you know, they have this incentive to actually prove that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very complex situation, I mean, created by the United States, whereby these very same elements that the United States is supposed to uproot are part of the coalition and of the political system. So we have actually the United States institutionalized some of these militias and allowed them to return the, to the country in certain respects, such as with the Supreme Council of the Islamic Revolution with Mr. Al-Hakim.
Mm-hmm.
That used to exist outside. It was allowed after the occupation to return with all of its men and armor. And in other cases, the complex situation that was created under Bremer allowed for this militarization, and so many of these people have infiltrated the government in terms of Shiite militias. On the other hand, you know, not sending enough troops, not that I was ever for the occupation, but trying to fight a cheap war and, you know, going against all the recommendations of the generals and not sending enough troops and not ever bothering to guard any of the weapons depot meant that,
yep,
Iraq becomes the country where there you have the highest per capita in terms of weapons, only, you know, I think even higher than the United States. So, of course, when you have a free flow of weapons and unguarded borders and you don't have really a police system, I mean, this chaos is to be expected. Why should anyone be shocked?
We're talking,
you have
with
the breakdown of the social contract and you don't have a strong state, you don't have a police force, you don't have an army. This is what you get.
We're talking with Professor Sinan Antoun from New York University here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, you can call us between now and the top of the hour. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So, Professor, explain a little bit. I learned for the first time in a news account about an obscure religious sect in Iraq called Yazidis.
Yes.
And it's described here in the L.A. Times story as neither Christian nor Muslim. And in a town near Mosul called Bashika, over the last few days, there was an incident that started off with one of these honor killings. A young woman had fallen in love with someone outside her own religious group, and she was stoned to death. And then this apparently led to an incident on Sunday where a bus was stopped and gunmen dragged 21 members of this religious group off the bus and then slaughtered them.
Yes. It's very terrible. I should say that, well, this sect exists, and it has existed in Iraq for a very long time. It's a very ancient sect with a kind of a set of beliefs that are partly monotheistic. With, you know, it's neither Christian nor Muslim, and there is a special status. There's these, I should say, the central figure in the set of beliefs is an angel-like character that some mistake to be the devil, but it's not actually the devil. They have their own shrines that they visit, and for the most part, they've existed and coexisted within the state. And under Saddam, and I myself was never a fan of Saddam, but we should nevertheless, you know, remind the listeners of the order and the security that most of the population enjoyed under Saddam, which they don't enjoy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Under Saddam, you know, they were allowed to maintain some of their own practices and habits, because basically not because Saddam is really great, but because they posed no political threat to the regime. They were allowed even to serve in the army without shaving their beards, which is one of their requirements, and they existed. And I, aside from the usual tension that you would have between ethnic groups, there were no massacres or whatnot. I'm not, you know, excusing what's happening now, but I would say had there been a strong police presence and had there been order, such a thing would not have happened and would not have, you know, extended to this mass killing. But as you said, it started out as, I think, a Yazidi woman converted to Islam and married a Muslim man, and that kind of fueled this complication. And
mm-hmm.
I attribute it primarily to the lack of security.
Well,
in the past, when such things happen, you know, the police, who at the time were not on the side of any this or that group, because while there were Shiite and Sunni categories, they had not become political categories. Mm-hmm. I should remind the listeners that that's a very recent development.
And
so in the past, the police would come, if you're Christian, Muslim, Sunni, Shiite, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They uphold the law.
And isn't this part and parcel of the blueprint that Paul Bremer left behind, where he created an elections process that was based on religious identity?
Yes, I must say so that is the biggest mistake. I don't know if it was a mistake, because maybe it was intentional, thinking that, you know, divide and rule is the best approach. But we happened to be in Baghdad filming in July of 2003 when Mr. Bremer formed his governing council. And everyone we met on the street, be they Sunnis or Shiites or Christians, they all said, why is this governing council? Why do the names have the ethnic and religious identity after the name? We're not used to that. But what Bremer did is, thinking that this is a better way to organize politics, is to make, you know, ethnic quotas and to politicize these identities, so that if you were not, you know, if you had not politicized your identity, then people were pushed to do so that they get a position in the new political climate. And now we see the tragic consequences of that. Because, as I said, 10 years ago, there were Sunnis, Shiites, Christians, which as my family is Christian, but it was not a political identity. The people who belonged to the Ba'ath Party, some of them were Sunni, some of them were Shiite, some of them were Christian. It's in the last 3 years that these were turned into political identities. And we know from history, when you transform ethnic or religious identities to political ones in such kind of chaos, then, you know, this is Pandora's box, if there was any Pandora's box.
And Professor, it's what compounds the work of the occupying forces, because they can't tell the difference. I think most of these American troops haven't been trained, and it's not as if people go around wearing clothing that indicates that they're Sunni, Shia, or Yazidi.
No. And I should say that while there were neighborhoods that were predominantly Sunni or Shiite, what the occupation has done in the last 3 years is actually polarize the city and incite this, internal displacement, which is terrible, because many of Baghdad's neighborhoods, and I lived in it for a long time and walked in it, were mixed. I mean, I used to walk in this Avamia, which is now seen as a Sunni stronghold. That's where my high school used to be, and it was not necessarily a Sunni area, but what has happened is to have this polarization, and then you have an institutionalization of what the United States created.
Yeah.
So instead of having a secular democratic politics, we have these religious categories then that are institutionalized. And I think the wall is a great example of how the occupation divides the city and then actually, you know, institutionalizes this division with walls. I mean, mm-hmm. when you're supposed to build an open democratic society and prevent civil war, why would you build gigantic walls that have failed elsewhere?
Yeah, we're going to take a break and pursue the wall issue a little further with Professor Sinan Antoon. He's at New York University, and we're here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, give us a call toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Mm.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
They only want to tell you lies, it's time to go home. To take our boys and win them, to take our girls and win them, to take our boys and win them, to take our girls.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Professor Sinan Antoon from New York University. And, Professor, just during the break, this news brief came in. Suicide bombers attacked 5 locations in Iraq today, killing 46 people, wounding more than 100. A deadly suicide attack in Ramadi killed at least 19 people. The city of Mosul was hit with a car bomb in front of the Kurdistan Democratic Party headquarters. And Ryan Crocker, the new U.S. ambassador, says he's not sure about whether construction of this wall in the Azamiya neighborhood has been suspended or not. That's the word, according to the New York Times Monday edition, that the government of Maliki has ordered a halt to this construction. But first and foremost, there's a real ugly controversy over the wall between Israel and Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Famously, Ronald Reagan challenged Gorbachev to tear down the wall in Berlin. The walls that the Nazis built in the ghettos in Warsaw and elsewhere leave a searing memory. And it's hard to reconcile that this wall is going to provide greater security and will not simply create enclosed targets for the opposition.
Definitely. I agree with you completely. I mean, the irony is, it seems that this is almost, to me, the microcosm of the whole so-called war on terror. This is the first time in history whereby the war produces the very same object it's supposed to destroy. It's produced more terrorists, it produced a better climate for terrorists. And with the wall, it goes against everything the United States in its rhetoric was supposed to introduce into Iraq, and just on a very simple strategic level from the military standpoint, I don't see how it's going to make anything easier except actually to consolidate targets for suicide bombers. Because if the suicide bombers can get into the heart of the cafeteria and the green zone, as you said, I mean, what would stop them from going to these walls? I mean, the problem is trying to secure these little areas. Plus, it's going to turn the lives of these people there into hell. I mean, think of the way people interact is so much governed by space. And, you know, as I said previously, there was this open space that you had in the city, and now Iraqis' notion of space is reduced to their street and their neighborhood. And to institutionalize that and put walls will only, you know, institutionalize the divisions and turn this country into the city into little cages where people live like animals.
Yeah.
I mean, this is partly the product of supposedly consultations between American and Israeli military officers. It's as if Israel has succeeded in its military operations. I mean, is this to turn basically Baghdad into a group of cages where Iraqis live? I mean, I don't understand. And it just shows the, you know, what a puppet government there is in Iraq, whereby I don't think even the prime minister knew that there was a wall being established. And then he said in Cairo yesterday that it's going to halt, and then the ambassador now says it's not going to be halted.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those few examples that are terrible on every single level. It's complete idiocy, I think.
And tell me, Professor, what about the larger question of partitioning the country?
You know, I must tell you, I myself am not a nationalist. I don't think countries are sacred, but countries are abstractions that many people agree on. But it is up to the Iraqis to decide if they want a divided country or not. It's not up to Senator Joe Biden, who keeps parroting this and others. And while Iraqis disagree on many, many things, very few of them are for partition. And that's why I think the country should not be partitioned. I mean, you hear this mantra a lot that Iraq was stitched together during the time of the Brits and it was only three disparate parts. I mean, of course, the modern nation state of Iraq is an imagined country, but a large number of those people have their lives together and they don't think that they should live separately and should divide the country into three countries. It would be catastrophic for everyone. First of all, it would disrupt, I mean, the country's logistical issues with water and whatnot and everything else. Plus, it would only create more civil wars in the entire region. And I think it's up to Iraqis to decide, not for Senator Joe Biden and not for anyone else in Washington who just come up with what they think are solutions to this.
Professor, one other news item from over the weekend, front page story, I think, on Saturday's New York Times described a suspect who was apprehended by Iraqi and American forces. Then he was beaten by Iraqis and coughed up what they said was a lot of useful information about, where his cell was located, what some of their plans were and all that. How much do we have to worry about in terms of the model of Abu Ghraib being adopted and adapted by Iraqis?
We have to worry very much, sadly so, because we've seen in this country, you know, you usually have this big news item about so-and-so ex-person being apprehended who will reveal to us so much about the structures of terror, and then it goes away and then another one. And sadly, once again, I mean, what the United States has introduced into Iraq is outsourcing the worst of the practices that have been happening in this country here instead of introducing the good ones. And I think we should be very worried. We should all remember all the hoopla about Abu Musab Zarqawi and how he was deemed to be, you know, the dynamo of everything and then his successor. And then we were told that it was Saddam who was guiding the insurgency. And once he's caught, then in his briefcase, all the plans there are. And the citizenry, for the most part, sadly, is fooled by all of these incidents.
Yeah, and Tom Friedman's always saying, the next 6 months will really determine everything. Let's take a call. Dave's on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Professor, I'm not sure if I'm hearing it from you, but I have had to reach the conclusion that the neocon ventures in your country are all about big bucks for the small PNAC group that planned this thing out for years. It's shifting the wealth of this country and yours into the pockets of these very few neocons. Would you share that conclusion?
I share that, and I've said it many, many times, and that is a big chunk of the reason for going there. And as I like to say, and reading Lewis Lapham said it best at Harper's, people say that the war has been going the wrong way. Actually, for the elite in Washington, the war has been going the right way. For example, if you own stocks in Halliburton, your money just tripled in the last 5 years, so definitely.
Right on, sir.
All right, Dave. Thank you for the call today. I appreciate that. Professor, just about 30 seconds remaining. What would you like to mention that we haven't touched on so far?
I you know, one thing I always like to say is that to go back and try to understand what happened to Iraqi society in the 90s under the sanctions, the genocidal sanctions, which killed, you know, hundreds of thousands and really destroyed the social fabric of what was once a secular and modern country. Without understanding what those 13 years did, not that that's the only factor, we can never understand the chaos and the violence that we see now that was enabled by the occupation.
Well,
that's
the
big silence that no one talks about when they talk about Iraq.
Yes, sir. And we just talked last week about the refugees inside the country and those who have left the country, many the professional class upwardly mobile, and they probably won't be back. Thank you very much for joining
us.
We'll
talk
again.
Thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Professor Sinan Antoon at New York University. Coming up next hour, Reverend Robert Myers on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Sometimes we don't know what's in our food.
The FDA right now is really not able to protect the safety of the food supply the way people expect.
1 week after the massacre, the school bell rang again at Virginia Tech.
The student turnout this morning was excellent.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. It's not just pet food, it's also what we eat that comes from other countries that never gets inspected because there are not nearly enough food inspectors to get it done. And it isn't just imported ingredients like oils, spices, flours, gums, even errant chemicals either. The government knew about contamination problems at a Georgia peanut butter plant and about California spinach contamination before people got sick. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Part of the problem, critics say, is that in recent years, food has taken a back seat to drugs at the agency charged with regulating both.
Sadly, today, this great Food Drug Administration, when it comes to food safety, has become the weakest link.
Just compare it to its sister agency, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The FDA is responsible for 80% of the nation's ever-growing food supply, the USDA for the other 20. And yet the USDA has five times the number of inspectors.
The Center for Science and the Public Interest says we need more food inspectors, obviously. Now this.
Hey, Ken. Picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage, and I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonicSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Noted journalist, former editor of the New York Times, and author David Halberstam is dead. The San Mateo County coroner in Menlo Park, California, says Halberstam died in a car crash there. No word yet on the details. Halberstam's trilogy of books on the nature of power in America, The Best and the Brightest, The Powers That Be, and The Reckoning, helped to define the last half of the 20th century. David Halberstam, age 73, dead in a car crash in California. A soulful serenade for students at Virginia Tech this morning. A student with a violin on the drill field left some students in tears, and some raising determined cries of Hokies. 1 week after the massacre, Ed Spencer at the Student Affairs Office.
We're seeing resolute, the confused, the angry, and the numb.
All the emotions that always go with dealing with death, he said. It's estimated 85 to 90% of the students are on the campus, and 75% of them went to class, like Scott Cheatham, a math major.
Really, I just decided that I wanted to be with all the Hokies. This was a place where I was able to be with my fellow students who had gone through the same experience, and so I just wanted to kind of stay here in Blacksburg and be with them.
Professor Ed Marola says it is tough no matter who you are.
I took advantage of half an hour between the two classes I went to have a 30-minute session with two counselors to try to help that, but basically I'm trying to hold together. Commencement.
The number of people in America who want more and stricter gun control laws has not gone up since the Virginia Tech shootings. In fact, it's down 5 points since May of 2000. CBS News Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton.
Just 33% of Americans favor a ban on the sale of all handguns. 64% oppose such a ban.
CBS News New York Times poll also shows the vast majority, 64%, do not support a ban on the sale of all handguns. Boris Yeltsin is dead. They chanted his name in 1991. That was Boris Yeltsin standing on a tank stopping a military coup against President Gorbachev. A few years later, Yeltsin became the first freely elected president in a democratic Russia.
When Yeltsin really did start to open the country up, he opened it almost too wide, and all kinds of corruption started happening that he seemed incapable of stopping. And a lot of Russians resented that and began to seriously resent him.
CBS's Anthony Mason, stationed in Moscow back then. Boris Yeltsin was 76. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Beverly.
Yes, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I locked my keys in my car. My car's running.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's get the doors open. What's the four-digit PIN number on the account?
6-7-4.
In most cases, OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors.
You are the best. This is the first time I'm trying this. I got to see how this works.
2004 white Trailblazer?
Chevy Trailblazer, yep.
All right. You said the vehicle's running right now, right?
It's running, and I put my key in, and it closed the door.
Okay. Let me go ahead and send the signal through.
No problem. There we go, baby. You're the best. I love you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Do I get charged for that?
No, not at all. It's part of your service.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Remote door unlock is just one of many OnStar services available on over 50 GM models. The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
One of the great voices in Peter B.'s America belongs to the Reverend Robin Myers. He's the pastor of the UCC Mayflower Church in Oklahoma City. He is also a professor of rhetoric at Oklahoma City University. And last year he published a powerful book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong.
There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Need it in their list for what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
As I mentioned, his book is called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. The subtitle, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And Katrina is dialing furiously right now. Robin Myers has about 16 phone numbers, and he wasn't at the first one we called, so we hope to have him on the program here with us momentarily. And if you've heard Robin Myers speak before, he is an amazing American and a man who I think really defends the very best in Christianity. And he is not afraid to speak out against the excesses of the so-called fundamentalist evangelical right in this country. And his voice is one that I think you should hear. So we're working on reaching him right now. And I'll just mention that the book features a blurb from Bill Moyers, too. And when we get Robin Myers, we'll see if he is a part of the Bill Moyers special that is on Wednesday night this week on your local PBS outlet. It's a 90-minute special about the lies that led us into Iraq, and I think it's going to be a very powerful presentation. And one of the things that is really key to the book that Robin Myers published, it was originally based on some comments that he made to a group of students at a vigil against the war in Iraq. And he ended up, the notes that he used to give a talk that night ended up being passed around the internet, and people said, you ought to write a book. And so he took those notes and expanded them into a book. And while it's a very powerful book in many respects, not to give short shrift to any one part, but to me, what really grabbed and is the takeaway from the book that is so memorable is that he outlines the elements of fascism and applies them to the current Christian-oriented political structure in our country today. And while we're waiting to connect with Robin Myers, I'll just review a little bit of this. It reads, Christian Fascism and the War on Reason. When you put judges on the bench who are racist and will set women back 100 years, and when you surround yourself with preachers who say gays ought to be killed, you're doing something immoral. And he says that one of the most controversial columns he's ever written was one in the Oklahoma Gazette entitled Using the F Word. And the F Word refers to fascism. And in this chapter, what he summarizes is the elements of fascism as described by Professor political scientist Lawrence Britt. And after reading this in Robin Myers' book last year, we tracked down Lawrence Britt and had him on the program. And Britt and Myers did not, at least at that stage, know one another, but their work is quite complementary. So Myers writes here, the elements of fascism, powerful and continuing nationalism, disdain for the recognition of human rights, identification of enemies and scapegoats as a unifying cause, supremacy of the military, rampant sexism, controlled mass media, obsession with national security, religion and government intertwined, protection of corporate power, suppression of labor power, disdain for intellectuals and the arts, obsession with crime and punishment, rampant cronyism and corruption, and the final element, fraudulent elections. Now, when you take a look at that list, those criteria, it leaves us with the unsettling conclusion that we are in a pre-fascist state in this country right now. And unchecked, the elements of fascism, I think, will move forward faster than democratic forces can counter it. So it's a fascinating look at those issues. I've just gotten word that Reverend Myers will be with us in about one more minute. And I encourage you to pick up the book. We'll find out from Dr. Myers, but I think it is out in paperback now. The publisher is Josie Bass, Division of Wiley Publishers. And it is a remarkable book, even if you don't consider yourself a religious person or even a Christian. And So I just want to recommend that to you because I think it is very powerful and worth reading. So pick that up if you can. A little bit later on the program today, we'll open up the phones in the Free Speech Zone. And next hour, too, Dave Meserve is going to join us. He's a member of the Arcata City Council. He's flying to Washington tomorrow, where he will represent us in a ceremony on Wednesday calling for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on the program. John from Carmel Valley has joined us, and we'll take his call while we're waiting for Dr. Myers to dial us up. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I want to run by him, and you can do it for me since he's not yet on. One of my biggest thoughts regarding the religious right is that it comes right out of the South. If you trace who's in it, everybody from Falwell and Pat Roberts, those are Virginia, you know, the more northern part of the South, but Billy Graham, who wasn't, and he's still alive, but he really started this whole thing. He's not as reactionary, he's not as bigoted, but his message is extremely narrow. Mm-hmm. Theologically, these people have pinhead theologies. They all focus around the second coming, mm-hmm. and one or two other born again, this idea that Jesus died on the cross. You don't need to do a thing to be saved other than accept what Jesus did on the cross. That goes back.
John, yes. Just hold that thought, yeah. Because Dr. Myers has joined us here. Robin Myers, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Good to be back.
Great to talk with you today. And we had to get started without you.
I know. I'm sorry. I got in some traffic, but here I am.
Oh, you're human. John in Carmel Valley is on the line, and he was raising a question about the extent to which geography contributes to the religious right in this country. And I'll just summarize it briefly. Is it a function of the fact that the Southern Baptist Convention is in the South and that Oral Roberts University and I'm groping right now for the Jones University in Bob Jones University in the Carolinas. Are those some of the centers that have helped make the South the bastion of the Bible Belt?
Yeah, I think that's true. And, I mean, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Texas, and Alabama, and the Deep South have always been the conservative parts of the country. Why does he think that's the case?
Well, John, tell us.
Well, because I think it's so obvious, going right back to Billy Graham, who he's still alive, but he's out of the picture compared to what he was. But he showed Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and Dobson and all the rest of these big-time evangelists what television and huge Munich-like rally events where people are, you know, thousands of people in a big auditorium or arena, what that could do and what the influence could be. And even though the doctrine is extremely limited, the second coming and this born again, a sort of variant of St. Paul's, Romans, and Martin Luther's notion of Jesus having done it all on the cross, so they throw out good works. I mean, no wonder they're out to lunch. If you do that, you've more than thrown the baby out with the bathwater.
Right,
well, it could also be that the kinds of people who were the pioneers who struck out to make their fortune and went into the South and into the West and endured all kinds of hardships were a different breed of cat than the people that stayed in big urban centers where there was more culture, where the culture was more literate, where people probably did a great deal more critical thinking and understood history. So it's perhaps the case that people in the South and the Midwest were more susceptible to the kinds of appeals that fundamentalists laid upon them because the world they lived in was so harsh, and they saw the results of nature and how cruel it could be. So there's all kinds of demographic reasons why that may be the case. There's always been a lot of people in this world who were susceptible to the sort of simplistic ideas that fundamentalists put across and could be, I hate to say this, but could be hoodwinked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John, I got to run to a break, but thanks for raising a good question. And Dr. Myers, catch your breath. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and I want to talk to you about some issues in the news and get another take out of your book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, and see where else you want to make a contribution to the dialogue today.
Will do.
We'll continue in just a moment. Dr. Robin Myers is our guest this entire hour. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale, reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
All righty, happy Monday, everybody, and let's check out the latest, see if we have anything going on, and we do, and let's cruise on over to wonderful, exciting Santa Cruz County, 152 westbound before Casserly. We have a large tree limb that is blocking the westbound lane, so looks like road crew is being called out to the scene to remove those limbs. Castroville, 183 and Salinas Street, we have an accident there. No details at this point, CHP on the way to the scene. Salinas, San Juan, Gray, that crazy horse canyon. It's crazy there right now. Injury crash, solo vehicle overturned, blocking the roadway at this point. We do have fire department and paramedics on scene there, and traffic is slow in the area as a result of this particular crash. And this report brought to you by American Express. American Express is offering an exclusive travel package to 9 sought-after destinations like Hong Kong, with prices dropping all day. Get yours before it's gone at MyLifeCard.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. This hour, we're talking with Dr. Robin Myers, a pastor in Oklahoma City and the author of Why the Christian Right is Wrong.
The country I come from is called the West. I was raised and brought up in the Lord's abide, and the land that I
nice little nationalistic tune there, originally written by Bob Dylan, called God on Our Side, and that's a remake from an 80s San Francisco band called Wire Train. And Dr. Myers, I wanted to get your thoughts. You lived through the Oklahoma City bombing, a tragic event that led to a lot of, angry thoughts and expressions, followed by the trials of McVeigh and Nichols. And as you look at last week's event at Virginia Tech, I wanted to get your thoughts. And we had Rabbi Arthur Waskow on the program from the Shalom Center. And he had just watched President Bush offer his condolences to the community there at Virginia Tech. And I have a quote from the president's remarks I want to read. "It's impossible to make sense of such violence and suffering. Those whose lives were taken did nothing to deserve their fate. They were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now they're gone, and they leave behind grieving families and grieving classmates and a grieving nation." And absent the reference to classmates, wouldn't this be a very appropriate commentary and expression of sympathy to the people of Iraq?
Well, that's what I was thinking as you were reading the quote. One of the remarkable things about Bush having gone down to Blacksburg, and he got down there in a hurry. You know, sometimes if it's a hurricane and it's poor people, he doesn't. He takes his time, but he moves immediately to help the Terry Schiavo case. So he has figured out what is politically expedient for him to do. And in the case of Blacksburg, you understand that he has an opportunity to sympathize with the parents of young people whose deaths he is not responsible for. And I read this in the paper, and I thought, that's absolutely, completely accurate. So he gets all the political benefit and none of the political fallout. I don't know, Peter, if you've read recently that he's been diagnosed by many experts with something called narcissistic personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And that the primary feature of that disorder is that you cannot empathize. You have an inability to empathize. But the president is able to empathize, or at least pretend that he's empathizing, when it is politically expedient for him to do so. But when it comes to the deaths of innocent people in Iraq, he apparently can't do that, doesn't seem capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I preached in my pulpit this past Sunday probably the angriest sermon I've ever preached since I've been at Mayflower Church, and I've been here a long time. There was something about this that disturbed me more than all the other school shootings. And part of it is, of course, what's predictable, and that's that the National Rifle Association will tell us this is an isolated incident, like we live on some other planet. Republican senators will and congressmen will go before cameras and say, let's not panic and enact stricter gun control, although this doesn't happen in other countries to near this extent. And the one salient feature of all of it is access to semi-automatic weapons, which, of course, nobody needs, and certainly not a mentally disturbed young man like we had at Blacksburg. So there's all kinds of things here that are social commentary, and the president really is behaving exactly as he has always behaved. He picks and chooses when to be empathic and sympathetic, and he's entirely blind to the lives that his policies have cost the world, and seems unmoved by those completely.
Well, and we have a range of people from guitarist Ted Nugent to disgraced former speaker Newt Gingrich who want us to say, you know, don't make this about the hardware.
Yeah.
Don't talk about the method that this massacre was conducted by or under. But, let's focus elsewhere because we don't want you to do anything to regulate the hardware.
No, because our allegiance to the gun lobby and their profits matter more than the lives of those young people we say we care deeply about. It's a sham. It's total hypocrisy.
And Dr. Myers, if we could contrast that to the remarkable silence from almost all quarters, except those who were dancing, with the Supreme Court decision, which is supposed to be, you know, about the so-called culture of life.
Right. Well, of course. I mean, the hypocrisy goes so deep here, as one never knows when you start talking about it, where do you stop? These are the people who've been running the country now for quite some time. They are deeply hypocritical. I talk about that. I give countless examples of that in my book, and the Blacksburg shooting was just another example of how you can pretend to be pro-life while in fact pursuing policies that are anti-life. And if the whole gun control issue isn't an important factor in the Blacksburg shooting, I don't know what else could be. There are mentally disturbed people everywhere in other countries. There are people who get angry. There are people who get jilted by their girlfriends. There are people who watch too many bad movies or play too many violent video games. The one thing they don't have access to in other places is semi-automatic weapons and all the ammunition that they want.
Yeah.
Without those things, he could not have done what he did. And anybody who can think critically knows that that's true.
We got to take a break. We'll return with Dr. Robin Myers. We'll take your phone calls in the next segment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Our website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, no, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, and we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
A sobering thought. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It's all anybody wants to see, the Sung Hee-jo Manifesto. We all want to learn something from it. We certainly learned that he wanted to be immortal, and he knew how to do it, send a scary DVD to a news organization, knowing it would live forever on the web. But does his manifesto give us any clues as to who may be next? He hates rich people. He thought he was surrounded by depravity. If anything, he sounds like Al-Qaeda. And it makes you wonder, suppose the real threat to our national security is from guys like this. Then what do we do? He may be ethnically Korean, but he'd been in America a long time. Yes, his English papers seem particularly spooky. Maybe the school should have acted on them. But if we're going to detain students for their spooky English papers, Guantanamo would fill up pretty quickly. We've learned that a classic suicide terrorist can be spawned in an American college dormitory, living in close quarters among roommates who saw him every day but had no idea what he was really up to. And we've learned something about our own expectations. We expect to be protected from people like this. There has been some anger directed at the Virginia Tech administration for not locking down the campus after the first shooting. And I had a sobering thought. Yesterday, in Baghdad, four car bombs left close to 200 people dead, more than six Virginia Techs, in one day. If we end up blaming the administration of the university for failing to stop what happened Monday, what must the average Iraqi be thinking about us? Now this.
Brenda Coates is a real GEICO customer, not a paid celebrity. So to help tell her story, we hired Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Last year, I was rear-ended by a GEICO customer.
I was hit in the rear.
First thought in my mind was about that funny lizard.
Lizard licks his eyeball.
I was so impressed with how they handled my claim, I switched.
I hope I'll never get hit in the rear.
GEICO. Real service, real savings.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
I-
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, all that, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest this hour, Dr. Robin Myers. He is a pastor in Oklahoma City and the author of a powerful book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with Dr. Myers, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Dr. Myers, I want to come back to a comment you made a couple of moments ago about hypocrisy, that once you start talking about it, it's hard to know where you stop, and I really understand that. But I just feel inundated. We've got the Attorney General, America's top law enforcement officer, who, in my view, flatly lied under oath before the Senate Judiciary Committee in January, came back last week flopping around like a fish on the dock, but nobody is really ready to use the L word and say, Mr. Gonzalez, you lied to us under oath. They said that he's inconsistent and, you know, he's been called incorrect, but nobody's willing to call him a liar.
Well,
then let me just add one other to my litany, and then we have the Supreme Court decision, which takes a phony term called partial birth abortion and makes it part of the law as if, you know, it is a precise scientific term. And that decision was based on the lies, or at least the lack of honesty, of Justice Roberts and Justice Alito in their respective confirmation hearings. And those lies are buttressed by senators who claim to be pro-choice who voted for the confirmation of those men, even though they knew they were lying about abortion rights when they talked about it in their confirmation hearings.
Well, of course, you have to understand that lying is a way of life. If you believe that you are doing it righteously, that you are pursuing God's agenda, then, of course, a little deception is permitted. And in this case, a lot of deception is permitted. The term propaganda came from the Roman Catholic Church's efforts to convert people, to propagate the faith, and they believed, moral philosophers in the Middle Ages believed, that if you were going to save someone's mortal soul, it was all right for you to lie to them. The thing with the Bush administration is they believe that they're right about everything. They believe they're not only right, they believe they are righteously right. That is, they're doing God's bidding. So what's a little lying? Or in the case of the Bush administration, a lot of lying. I started calling Bush a liar 5 years ago, and I remember conservatives saying to me who lived in Oklahoma, Robin, you can't call the president a liar. That's where that requires the knowledge that he willfully misled people. Now, I've not talked to anybody lately who objects to calling the president a liar. Maybe one of your callers will object. But all you have to do is go to one of the websites that lists all of the demonstrably false, knowingly deceptive statements the president has made, and it's now a very, 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 very long list. There's no doubt in my mind that the president's a liar. There's no doubt in my mind Alberto Gonzalez lied. But you understand, they believe they were lying for the right reason. That's what separates them from everyone else.
And so how do we reconcile this? Because these are people who claim to be great Christians, or at least they use faith as a political shield wherever possible. And I think it not only undermines, you know, the perception of what it means to be a person of faith, But, you know, we have this ripple effect where kids learn that, yeah, you know, it's okay to shade the truth. It's okay to spin things. After all, look at what the adults are doing.
Well, it's called lying for Jesus. That's a really powerful lesson for kids to learn. It's okay to lie if you're on the right side, but it's okay to kill people if you're on the right side. It's okay for you to go down and comfort the kids, at the parents of the families in Blacksburg, but it's absolutely fine for you to cause the deaths of countless innocent Iraqis, because after all, Peter, they're Iraqis, they're not Americans. They're followers of Islam, they're not followers of Jesus Christ. He divides the world into the good guys and the bad guys, into the saved and the lost, into those who know the truth and those who are living in falsehood. And that's all that really matters, is that you see the world divided up this way. Once you see it that way, you're capable of enormous cruelty and constant deception in order to press your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad.
I mean, we've talked about some of these before, but I continue to wrestle with the way that this administration has publicly argued for the right to torture.
Right.
And the way they pressured the Congress before the election last November to pass what I call the Joe Stalin Detention, Interrogation, and Kangaroo Court Act. It's called the Military Commissions Act. But for the first time, a law was passed which separated us from the Geneva Conventions, which are the, you know, international standard for human rights. And they're very basic. And for us to accept ourselves from that and the Kyoto Treaty and some of the arms treaties and, you know, really support the abrogation of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty among people we consider friendly to us, we have really corrupted what was not a perfect system. But before Bush came in, we had some understandings in the world, and in particular, the perception of the United States was not nearly as crass and corrupt as it is today.
Well, you have to remember that at one time we believed that other people had rights and that other people mattered and were of value. Now we have someone who believes that the world is to be divided up into those who are right and everyone else. And those who are right, and the Bush administration assumes that it is involved in a holy crusade against evil, then one can reserve for oneself the right to do whatever one believes is necessary to defeat the forces of evil. And that's what the president and his administration have done. They've rolled back constitutional liberties and civil liberties. They have ruined the reputation of the United States. They have stained what was left of the good name of this country by their behavior. And, of course, it has nothing to do with Christianity, Peter. You know, you and I have talked about this many, many, many times. If the president took the gospel seriously, he'd care about poor people, he'd care about the environment, he'd care about valuing other people who are from other faith traditions. All of the dispositions that make up a genuine follower of Jesus are entirely alien to George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm. And tell me what your counsel would be if I were a member of Congress and I called you, Dr. Myers, and I said, I'm really struggling with this vote on the Iraq supplemental. Because on the one hand, this is the first time the Congress has asserted itself and put any limitations whatsoever on the conduct of this president's unilateral elective war. And on the other hand, it provides money for as much as another 12 to 18 months of killing.
Yeah.
It supports the so-called surge, which is, you know, not a rational act that flies in the face of all the expert advice that this conflict cannot be settled militarily. And, you know, I believe that many of our elected leaders confront this moral dilemma. I'm not sure how they sort through it.
Well, I personally think the Democrats have been very disappointing in terms of their resolve. I wish they would act more decisively on behalf of the will of the American people. The surge has already demonstrably proven to be nothing but a surge in deaths. I mean, over 200 people were killed in Iraq last Wednesday when we were mourning the deaths of 33 people in the United States. So there's a complete disconnect. And I would like the Democrats to get tougher and to pass legislation that is more demanding, because I think that's what the majority of the American people want. And we just have to keep telling them that over and over and over again. They're all frightened. They're all politicians and are all running for cover. But somebody has to bring this war to a close. Nothing can happen by extending it except the deaths of more people on all sides.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've, you know, run into this with a lot of Democrats who we've talked to on the program who do rationalize their vote, as I described, that this is the first time Congress has taken a role and you have to do this incrementally. But they mostly seem to be in a game of political chicken, Dr. Myers, over who will be blamed for not supporting the troops.
And that, of course, is a moral failure all by itself. What somebody needs to do who opposed the war from the very beginning and knew that it was wrong, first of all, this war ought to lead to the impeachment of the president. It's an illegal war. It was based entirely in lies, and now it's caused untold disasters. If somebody can't get up and claim to be and exercise some moral leadership and say we have to stop it, then we're going down the same road we went down in Vietnam, in which we played the same games for years and years and years, and it cost 58,000 lives of my generation because nobody had the political will to stop what was a lost cause. At least Harry Reid said the other day, the war is lost, and that is the truest statement that I've heard anybody make in Washington for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are moments.
Yes, where, there are moments.
Where we get the sense that people like Harry Reid and Jack Murtha and Nancy Pelosi do understand the strong desire of the American people to end this mess as quickly and cleanly as possible.
But the Democrats know that the Republicans also know that it's lost and are now simply angling to be able to blame the Democrats for losing the war, which will be the last great lie told by this administration.
Well, I refer to that, Dr. Myers, as the Curtis LeMay gambit. And he, of course, after we had evacuated Vietnam, said, well, you know, if they just let me bomb the hell out of it, we would have won the thing.
Well, sure. And if every student at Blacksburg had been packing heat, the tragedy there would never have happened. And, of course, since those shootings occur in post offices and cafeterias and all kinds of workplaces, then the answer, I suppose, for the NRA and some Republicans is every single one of us need to strap on a gun every morning and have it armed and ready to go 24 hours a day, every place we go.
And now, it'll make us safer because, of course, there are never any accidents. There are never any misuse of guns that people carry as a concealed weapon.
No, and no kids ever use them to commit suicide, and nobody would ever start firing off in a moment of road rage. Listen, Sarah Brady had the most cogent piece of logic I've ever heard. Sarah Brady said, if more guns would make America safer, then, of course, we would already be the safest nation on earth.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a caller on the line. Chris in Salinas wants to join us. Hi, Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
How you doing, Mr. Myers?
Hi, Chris. Fine.
I just wanted to, you know, I think Harry Reid, when he said that we lost the war, this whole thing about losing the war is totally, he misspoke, because the war was over when the great George Bush flew in on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
This has been an occupation, and had Harry Reid just said, we've lost this occupation, they can't jump all over him for saying this, because it's true, you know, and with this war, it's not a war anymore, and more people keep using the word war when it's an occupation.
Yeah, well, I think you've raised a very good point, and probably it would have been more accurate to say we've lost this occupation. I happen to agree that it is not a war. It never was a war. It was never declared to be a war. But once you go on what's called a war footing, then the politics of the whole situation changes. I like your idea that we ought to continue to refer to it as an occupation and an illegal one at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and as a professor of rhetoric, Dr. Myers, I think you cringe like I do when Democratic leaders use the language and framing of the administration. They talk about the war on terror without qualifying it.
Right.
And the other Reid, Jack Reid of Rhode Island, in my view, is often counterproductive.
Right.
With his public statements, because it is so riddled with the whole frame of the administration.
I agree.
We're going to take a break and return with Dr. Robin Myers. If you want to talk with him, call us now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And beware, coming up in the next segment, we're going to use the F word. Don't worry, it's not four letters, okay? My FCC minder can relax. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testified lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
And there we go. Traffic in the Monterey Salinas area. Let's take a look at the very latest. All right, let's get to it. In fact, we got a problem in Castroville on Highway 183 at Salinas Street. It's a crash. No other details being issued at this point from CHP. Also want to take a look at another Salinas problem. This would be San Juan Grade at Crazy Horse Canyon. And this is a crash. Looks like it's a solar vehicle overturned. CHP is on scene, so we want to let you know about that one. Also, other than that, things look pretty good. I want to mention that Castroville Valley Road at Meridian, we're working on a grass fire there. This grass fire has shut down the roadway, so fire crew is working pretty hard at this point. No estimated time of reopening, so if it might be a good idea to simply avoid Valley Road at Meridian at this point.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Dr. Robin Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S. His book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, is subtitled A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, and Your Future. And Dr. Myers, we were speculating that you might somehow be featured on the Bill Moyers special on PBS tomorrow, Wednesday night.
I wish. I'm a good friend of Bill's, and I've always wanted to be on his program. I think he does the best work in television. But no, unfortunately, I'll be at home on Wednesday night.
Okay. I wanted to take a minute here because your book is powerful in many respects, but what really stuck with me and propelled many other conversations since we first talked about it was your analysis of the elements of fascism and how they fit the current scene under the Bush administration in these United States. And you were, I think, one of the first to articulate this. There's a powerful new book we just got in today by Chris Hedges called American Fascists, the Christian... right, and the war on America. Sorry, I was reading that upside down. So I think that you really started something. Talk a little bit about the reaction you've gotten to describing the Bush government as fascist.
Well, as you know, I wrote a column in the Oklahoma Gazette about 5 years ago called Using the F Word, and I, of course, was talking about fascism. And when I first did that, I got a storm of criticism from readers telling me how dare I use this ugly word that, of course, can only be applied to the Nazis, and so it raises the specter of jackbooted thugs and brown shirts and complete squashing of civil liberties and demonizing of the enemy and cronyism and sort of hysterical patriotism. And, yes, all those things can be applied to the United States now. People at first thought that was outrageous to use that word. Many, many people now realize that fascism can take many forms. All that it really means is control of the government by special interests, usually with the blessing of the church or even the church's encouragement by baptizing whatever it is that they're up to, and then the use of certain tactics to silence dissent and to whip people into sort of a patriotic frenzy and to cast the world as a battle between good and evil, and then to tell everyone, trust us to protect you, to keep you safe, and trust us to do what we need to do that. Now, I published, of course, in my book, the 14 characteristics of fascism that Lawrence Britt first wrote about. And when you read that list in the book, you realize that every single one of those characteristics are ascendant and evident in the United States. So I never have apologized for using the F word, and now lots of other people are using it too.
Yeah. Well, your book propelled me to locate Lawrence Britt. We had him on the program.
Oh, great.
And I made sure he knew about your book, and he had not been aware of it up to that point.
Well, it's a frightening thing. But look, Peter, I think people need to be frightened right now. I think if you're not scared right now about what's going on in this country, you are not a patriot at all, because what a real patriot does is he or she loves his or her country so much that if something is destroying it, they refuse to be silent.
Now, Dr. Myers, during the last break, I opened up my email, and this came in just minutes ago from the Traditional Values Coalition. That's Reverend Lou Sheldon.
Yes, yes.
It says, your religious freedom is in jeopardy. And it calls on us to make tons of phone calls and send emails and faxes to Capitol Hill to object to the House Judiciary Committee's consideration of the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2007, which is H.R. 1592. And in bold type, in the email here, it says, it's a serious threat to religious liberty. It'll be used to lay the legal foundation and establish a framework to investigate, persecute, and prosecute pastors, business owners, or anyone else whose actions are based upon the truth found in the Bible, which had previously been protected by the First Amendment. Now, are they trying to say that the Old Testament, I think that's what they mostly would refer to, is trumping our secular laws?
Well, obviously the hate crimes legislation is being pushed by people who are aware that people who are gay or lesbian are often the target of hate crimes. And the religious right, which are obviously no friend of gays and lesbians, counter with the sort of boogeyman philosophy that if we put hate crimes on the books, then people with particular religious views will be persecuted in some way. I don't understand the logic of that at all, quite frankly. I'm mystified by it, but I'm not surprised by it. The right always takes things done on behalf of people who've long been oppressed, and they twist it around, and they scare people into believing that, that legislation to help protect them will somehow come back to haunt Christians and restrict their freedoms to their beliefs. I don't know how that works. I'm serious. I do not know what they mean.
Yeah. It is convoluted and elliptical in many ways, and as I look at this, I'm trying to figure out, okay, which came first, the political use of people like the Traditional Values Coalition or their desire to be used politically?
Well, that's a very good question, Peter. I don't know. It's a sort of chicken and egg question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know which came first, but they are the most powerful political force in the country now, and they know it. And they don't want to give up that power. Once you've tasted the sweet nectar of having a seat at the table in Washington, you don't ever want to give that up. And look how far they've gotten. Look how close women are to losing the right to control their own bodies. We are in this Roberts Court, and when he was confirmed, I wrote an op-ed piece that said, people don't know what has just happened, but it's one of the most important moments in American history, because one of these days, the right to an abortion under any and all circumstances is going to be taken away, and women are going to be back where they were before, having back-alley abortions and losing control over their own bodies. Again, if I sound like an alarmist, just remember what people have come to realize in the last 5 years about the capacity of this administration to lie to people about what their real agenda is.
Yeah. Dr. Myers, thank you for joining us today. Thanks for the work that you do. And is the book out in paperback now?
The book is coming out in March of 08 in time for the primaries and the presidential race. And I'm very excited by and very hopeful about what the future holds. I think we can still save ourselves. So let's leave it on that good note.
I'm delighted. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Peter.
Robin Myers in Oklahoma City, the book Why the Christian Right is Wrong. Thanks for joining us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. He covered everything from war to baseball. Pulitzer Prize-winning writer David Halberstam died today. San Mateo County, California coroner Robert Fokrault says it was a car crash.
The vehicle that he was in came in contact with another motor vehicle. The impact from that accident propelled him into a third motor vehicle that was stopped at a traffic light.
Halberstam covered the Vietnam War for the New York Times and eventually wrote a book about the war, The Best and the Brightest. He was not quiet on Iraq either, as we hear from this 2006 NPR interview.
The White House tragically miscalculated what was going to happen in Iraq. In fact, I think Americans have been more suspicious about the alleged promises of victory in this war because of Vietnam.
He was 73 years old. Students at Virginia Tech tried to get back to normal today, a week after the deadliest camping shooting in American history happened in their backyard.
This is Jim Crissel on the Virginia Tech campus. Serenaded by a student playing a violin, Virginia Tech students continue grieving here at a makeshift memorial in front of the Virginia Tech administration building. Many have tears running down their faces. Others are with their parents, locked in tight, loving embraces as they try to cope, each the best they can. Jim Crissula, CBS News, Blacksburg, Virginia.
9 U.S. soldiers are dead. 20 more Americans are wounded after an explosion in Iraq. President Bush isn't having any of the pressure Democrats are putting on him to end that war.
The artificial timetable of withdrawal would say to an enemy, just wait them out. It would say to the Iraqis, don't do hard things necessary to achieve our objectives, and it would be discouraging for our troops.
With Congress likely to finish its Iraq funding bill this week, Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says it's time for President Bush to stop digging in his heels and start listening.
Our president is wrong, and the new Congress will show him the way.
The way out of a war, Reid says, is clearly going badly, despite the president's claim that his troop surge is working.
The White House transcript says the president made those remarks in the state of Michigan. I believe he made them in the state of denial.
Reid says the president is the odd man out when it comes to Iraq. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Food and Drug Administration under fire. They knew about contamination problems with spinach and peanut butter before hundreds were sickened. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes says the FDA is in line for more money for safety programs, but it might not be enough.
The administration's budget calls for an additional $11 million for the FDA's food safety efforts next year. Former FDA officials say the agency needs 10 times that.
Former Russian President Boris Yeltsin is dead. He was 76. This is CBS News.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. The American Heart Association says one way to promote a healthy heart is to eat a diet naturally rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Well, did you know Welch's 100% grape juice contains powerful antioxidants, much like the grapes used to make red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. It may be the tastiest way to help protect your heart. I made the switch to Welch's 100% grape juice. No added sugar, unmistakably delicious taste. I'm Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
A new study can't find a link between abortion and breast cancer.
A team led by Harvard researcher Karen Michaels tracked 37,000 women who had abortions and or miscarriages after 10 years.
We did not find any association between induced abortion and breast cancer or spontaneous abortion and breast cancer.
This Archives of Internal Medicine study supports National Cancer Institute findings.
It is important to get the facts straight so that every woman can make their own personal decisions.
But as with anything dealing with abortion, there's disagreement about what the facts are. The Coalition on Abortion Breast Cancer criticizes this study, saying that 10 years is not enough time for a link to be accurately traced. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
It ain't easy being gorgeous. Still, Riggs the Bulldog manages to carry on. Riggs is a 3-year-old male. He won the beautiful Bulldog contest in Des Moines, Iowa today. Riggs beat tough competitors like Sir Griswold Snores a Lot and Crazy Legs de Moose. I'm Karen Riegel, CBS News.
Hey, Ken. Picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helped control daytime, even nighttime, acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage. And I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Governor Corzine, please fasten your seatbelt. Welcome to the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. This hour is set aside for you and your opinions. And I know you've got opinions. So pick up that fancy cell phone, that BlackBerry with all the, you know, stuff on it you don't know how to use. And just dial me, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I think you know the rules here. You can talk about any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We don't censor your calls or tell you what you can talk about here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, the number is 888-573-8372. My personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com. And if you have a comment about the show that you'd like to send to our producer, Katrina, just address it to katrina@peterbcollins.com. We're always happy to get ideas on guests and topics you think we should be covering on this program. Love to hear your comments on Dr. Robin Myers. I'm always impressed with him and inspired by him, too. And I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Feel free to comment on anything that he and I discussed. We also had a powerful conversation with Professor Sinan Antoon of New York University about this wall that they are building and have stopped building in Baghdad, and also about the notion of partitioning the country. He's against it, and he is an actual Iraqi who left in about 1991 or 92. And we also did talk about the slaughter of the Yazidis, an obscure religious cult, a sect, I'm sorry, not cult, but a religious group in Iraq. And it just widens our awareness of the range of diversity of culture and religion in Iraq. And it's not just Sunni and Shia. So lots to talk about on the program. We also kicked off the show with Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. And he had an interesting take. He disagreed with me that NBC, in my view, should not have released the videotape of the killer from Virginia Tech as quickly as they did. Want to comment on that? Welcome your comments here. 888-5-PETER-B. We kick it off with Billy in Capitola this hour. Hello, Billy.
Hello, Peter. This is Steve in Salinas.
Well, I'm sorry. Billy's online, too. Billy, you stand by. Billy's probably talking because he thought I picked up his line. But
that's okay.
Hold off, Billy. We'll get to you. Steve, you're first because I picked your line up first.
Well, thank you, Peter. Hey, I was just watching O'Reilly, and tonight he's smearing, let's see, who did he pick on? Oh, Media Matters.
Oh, really? They kicked off our show today.
Yeah, and I know that they're on all the time, so I thought you'd be really interested in this. He called them that vile smear group, Media Matters, a tool of George Soros, and then here, he was accusing Bill Moyers as taking a half a million bucks from George Soros, and also Edwards is also part of, he's under Soros's control.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's just so freaky. I just can't explain it.
If I were a little bit higher on Bill's radar, he would accuse me of being a tool of George Soros, and then I'd have to open up my bank accounts and show that George Soros and no other billionaire has deposited a dime in there.
Yeah, I know. You and Stephanie Miller are always complaining about, you know, hey, you're not getting a piece of the pie, you know?
No, we don't. But it's interesting that O'Reilly would call Media Matters a smear artist because...
A vile smear group.
But what they do is they smear with the facts. And that's what really gets Bill's dander up. Because they listen to him, they record his show, they find out the stuff that he says that isn't true, and then they expose it, and that is a vile smear.
It's verbatim. That's what they do.
You're right.
And it's just amazing how, that's the one that really gets his goat, is when it catches him with his own words. So, I mean, it's just strange times, Peter B., strange times.
Now, Steve, I'm just a little worried, and I don't know if we should have an intervention, but exactly what propelled you to turn on Bill O'Reilly?
Well, I was flipping, and, you know, you got to watch out. I have a friend of mine who's... brother works at the Nixon Museum.
Uh-huh.
Okay, as a docent.
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason that he does it is because you got to know the enemy.
Okay. Well, that I can understand. Thanks for getting behind the enemy lines, and please report in next time.
Okay, Peter.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Now, second take, Billy in Capitola.
Hey, buddy.
Sorry, I mistook you a moment ago.
I'm going to track you down and get you with the gun.
Oh, no. I hope it's a squirt gun.
Yeah, exactly. So they had a gentleman on doing a little news and commentary a little bit ago, Dave Ross.
Dave Ross on CBS?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to talk about that in light of your first hour conversation and obviously conversations we've had in the past week. So he uses the words when he's talking about the gunman, whose name I will not say.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, you know, what's his name is immortalized now, and he also says, live forever. He says, live forever and immortal. You see, when you put those kinds of words, and you know, I'm sort of your word guy.
Mm-hmm.
When you use words like that, they get heard by killer number 22. Because he wants to be immortal. You should never be used. And it's something similar to something Steve actually was just on had said last week. Let's give him a number, not a name.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a different Steve.
Oh, maybe so.
Yeah.
And, let's always use the word pathetic loser in mm-hmm. front of the number.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever we can to sort of diminish the immortalization, the live forever tale of the guy who... And again, boy, you know, when you hit a number like this, you know, now we had the most ever, mm-hmm. the next guy is going to be actually counting them.
So where do we start? Because we have a culture and a media culture that glorifies killers and people who resort to violence. And I'm thinking of, really nasty films like Natural Born Killers.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to watch stuff like that. I've seen about half of Natural Born Killers, a couple of other, Tarantino films. But I personally reject violence when it's served up as entertainment. There are many films that I will watch that have violent content, but it's part of a story or maybe even part of history. And in that sense, I will permit myself to view these Hollywood versions of those kinds of events. But I draw the line at films whose main intention is to exploit violence as a form of entertainment. And I just think of teenagers who come home from school, mommy and daddy aren't there.
Oh, sure.
And they pop in, it used to be a videotape, and now it's a DVD.
Or a video game.
And well, yes,
but I'm
thinking about the Hollywood films that you can watch the grisly scenes over and over again.
And all that's true, but I'm going to disagree with you, although you're right. And that is, are we going to ban films and games when we're really, we should be banning guns? You know, isn't that how, you want to know where we start? That's how we start. Until we have an honest relationship with the handgun. Until we're willing to take it on and not pretend that handguns and clips are what we meant by a well-regulated militia. Until we're willing to do that, you know, we act like the Bill of Rights is sacrosanct. I don't know about you, but I think we lost a couple of rights in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
The Second Amendment can be rethought about, too. And that's where it starts.
Well, I don't really disagree with you, except on a matter of practicality, that we have, I believe, more guns than people in this country already.
So let's get started. My gosh, you're so right. When you have hundreds of millions of things you've got to get done, gee, we should have started yesterday. The answer that there are so many guns or it's so hard to do, to me, again, it's like stem cells. Let's get started.
I hear you there, and I'm not opposed to starting, and I've made the case that
Dianne
Feinstein's assault weapons ban should be reinstated. It will not fix the problem. It will not eliminate those assault weapons that are out there, but it might slow things down, and that can't hurt. However, in addition to trying to get guns out of circulation, which I think is a worthy goal, I think that we need to educate people about the real consequences of plinking and that, you know, it's not a video game. And when you pull the trigger on a real gun, it has real consequences. And there are a lot of people who don't make that connection, particularly those who think that either it's a video game or like a movie where, sure, it's cool, man. You know, it's like, oh, man, it just blew him away, man.
How many acts of violence do we see in a lifetime because of that? And you're right. We become inured to it and not shocked by it. And wouldn't it be a better world if we were shocked by it, and you'll notice we're not allowed to see the real violence in Iraq.
Yeah.
You know, instead we get the phony violence to turn us on, and the stuff that we ought to be responsible for, we're not getting to see any of it.
So maybe a condition of NRA membership is that you have to tour a morgue and see a cadaver that was dispatched by gun violence.
You know, at a minimum, I mean, you're so right. At a minimum, how about, you know, again, I'll say it again, the do not buy list. If you're a little mentally ill, you shouldn't be able to just buy a gun without somebody asking you a couple of tough questions.
Well, we got so many people in this country on Prozac now, though, Billy. I'm not sure where we draw that line either.
Boy.
It's complicated. Thanks for your call. Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
888-5-PETER-B. There are four lines open, and it's the free speech zone the rest of this hour. Somewhere along the way, we're going to hear from a city council member in Arcata, Dave Mazur, if he'll join us probably in the next 20 minutes. He is leaving for Washington tomorrow with the resolution passed by the Arcata Council calling for impeachment of Bush and Cheney, and he will display that at an event Wednesday at the Capitol. We'll get details coming up later this hour. Lots of room for your phone calls, and I want to hear from some first-timers. So if you've been hanging back, make this your day to debut on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Traffic in America is one of the most beautiful city, of course, Monterey. Let's tell you about southbound one between Iris Canyon Road and Aguajito. It's a crash right lane. Actually, they're not saying it's a crash. They're actually saying it's guardrail repair from 9 a.m. to noon. Meanwhile, we do want to tell you about a problem in Castroville. It's Valley Road at Meridian. It's a grass fire. Fire department remains on scene, and the traffic backed up because of this. In fact, the CHP is conducting a little bit of a traffic control there. Only information we have at this point. No problems reported on Highway 17 in either direction, which is always good news. And this report brought to you by American Express. Great.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We've got room for your call in the free speech zone right now. If you call in, it'll be a short wait on hold, and we'll get to hear what you have to say. 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. Last hour, we were talking with Dr. Robin Myers, and Chris called with a bit of a correction about Harry Reid's comment. And I thought it'd be worth going back to last week to answer the question, what did Harry Reid actually say? Here's the quote. I believe myself that the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and you have to make your own decisions as to what the President know that this war is lost, and the surge is not accomplishing anything as indicated by the extreme violence in Iraq. And, of course, he's been slammed by Republicans who say, like, here's Peter Hoekstra, if Harry Reid believes that this war is lost, where is his plan to win this war? Now, I consider this progress, although I do acknowledge Chris's comment that it's the occupation that we've lost. We actually won the war, if you want to call it that. It was to remove Saddam Hussein, right? It wasn't my war. It's not something I support, but you understand my point. And so I do agree with Chris that Harry Reid's comment in some ways isn't helpful because, number one, it makes him a ripe target for the critics from the right. And number two, he's talking about the war, not the occupation, which is untenable, unwinnable, and cannot be solved militarily. I think there's wide consensus on that. So what I wish he had said was that we can't win this war the way the president intends to wage it. And we have to recognize that there isn't a military solution, and the best thing is for the U.S. to get out of the way and get out of the country. Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Here's Jake in Arcata. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Not too bad today.
Yeah, I'd like to, first of all, I'd like to echo what Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said. This phase of the war, anyways, is most definitely lost. There's no way of getting around that. There is no military solution. All the generals who aren't currently on Bush's payroll have said so. And anybody who's paying any attention to the situation in Iraq knows that a military solution is not possible. Hell, even Henry Kissinger himself came out and said that. Bush's tutor, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be clear about this. The only way this will be solved is a political solution, and the surge does nothing other than to simply get more American troops killed. That's it. Harry Reid's absolutely right. Somebody who's not right, though, somebody who's quite troubled, I would say, is John McCain. Peter B., did you catch John McCain singing that little Beach Boys tune last week?
Oh, sure, and there's a new ditty that Code Pink did. In fact, if I have time, I'll try to play it before the end of the hour.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I mean, everybody knows, the Beach Boys song, Barbara Ann.
Right.
And John McCain started singing Bomb Iran. and, I'm sure he thought that was very funny, but considering the fact that John McCain may very well end up being the Republican Party's nominee for the president, I mean, is this the kind of guy we want to have their finger on the nuclear button? Somebody who's just ready and waiting to start a war with Iran? I mean, hell, if we want, a third term of George W. Bush, then hey, go ahead and vote for John McCain.
Right. Well, and it's even more inappropriate when you look at the context. If you expand the clip and go back to the question that was asked by a John McCain booster at this pep rally, he was saying he's irritated why we haven't attacked Iran already. And that's where McCain picks it up and tells his joke that we all need to lighten up and get over.
Well, what John McCain is doing is what he's always done. He is pandering to the Washington press corps. And since, the Washington press corps, as we all know, is damn near dominated by these neocons, these people who have been begging for a war with Iran for years, the William Crystals, Charles Krauthammer, all these right-wingers, I don't know how they get their jobs because they're always wrong. How do they stay on TV as so-called political experts when everything they say is wrong? But anyways, you're still up there, on the Fox network mostly, and these idiots keep pushing for this war, and John McCain simply kowtowing to them, he's pandering to them, because that's his only constituency, really, is the Washington press corps.
You're right. He's lost just about everything else, including, you know, the Republican base that he enjoyed back in 2000 and kept warmed up in 2004. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. Patty in Santa Cruz, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome.
Hi. What I wanted to say about the shooter, I'm glad I did hear what he had to say, because I have a history of working with mentally ill people. And what I heard was a confusion about God and Christ, and, you know, and that was part of the mix, is that he got harmed by maybe some kind of religion. And I've seen that in a lot of other patients where they're really afraid of demons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a God punishing them or what's going on.
Right. But, I mean, he also criticized hedonism and what he saw as the wealthy students at Virginia Tech. So,
well, that it was too. But a dimension seemed to be something mixed in there about God and punishing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he clearly felt righteous in what he was doing, and he defined himself as a victim. But, Patty, how does this really help us? And the timing of it is my critical issue. I don't dispute that eventually this tape was going to surface. But did NBC have to broadcast it within 12 hours of receiving it before any of these victims had even been buried?
Well, I mean, yes. As a family member, I would probably be totally upset,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure. But,
yeah.
I mean, as a spectator in this, I mean, it was just something I hadn't heard, is that, you know, there is, you know, there was that element of it that
mm-hmm.
I think he was harmed within his religious community, and
yeah.
I've seen it in other people
sure.
that are just in torture over.
And to me, it's the timing and also the use of the video. That could easily be transcribed and published in a newspaper or even printed on the TV screen, but to put his image up there delivering it
right, exactly.
gave him the moment he wanted. Thanks, Patty.
And they'll make a movie out of it. Okay.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I'm Todd the Taxi Driver, and I'm hacking disappointed with you, America. It seems as if we've missed another opportunity to come together and unite against racial intolerance. Too many people seem willing to blame rap music for Don Imus's downfall. And I really don't understand all the anger and animosity towards Al Sharpton. There seems to be a segment of white America that wants to blame black America for Don Imus's remarks. The actual blame lies with CBS, with MSNBC, and with Don Imus and the people that worked for him. And let's place some blame on the people that listen to his show every morning and led him to believe he had to continually push the envelope to satisfy their racial insecurities and racial hatreds. Until tomorrow, I'm Todd the Taxi Driver.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best.
Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I interview great guests, including national, regional, and local personalities that make our planet so delicious. And I want your feedback. It's simple. Go to www.tastyplanet.org, complete the survey, fill out a form, and you'll be automatically entered to win. That's all there is to it, and your info is safe with me. I won't use it for anything but this contest. So listen in on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m., and as Julia Child used to say, bon appétit!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, we would already have impeachment proceedings underway. Calls and comments welcome here in the Free Speech Zone. Lines available toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, there are a lot of activists in this country who are trying to get impeachment on the table, having been taken off by at least the words of Speaker Nancy Pelosi and others. And it's something I fully support. I don't necessarily know how an impeachment proceeding this late in the second term of this president would actually turn out. And I actually care less about that than I do the principle that impeachment is the remedy that the people have to bring to accountability elected officials who break the law. And at this moment, based on his performance last week, I believe Attorney General Gonzalez should be impeached, particularly since the White House refuses to remove him, and he so far has declined to resign. That is the appropriate remedy, and it's in the Constitution, and it's not an optional matter for political leaders to say, oh, you know, I don't feel like impeachment right now. It might not work out to my advantage. Just like you should be prosecuted if you get caught speeding or running over somebody in a crosswalk. This administration has repeatedly violated the laws. And our top two officials, Bush and Cheney, in my view, have repeatedly violated their oaths of office. And for me, this is not an optional matter. Now, Wednesday, rescheduled from last week, there will be a presentation at the Cannon House Office Building Outdoor Terrace at 12 noon Washington time. And representing you and me is Dave Meserve. He serves on the City Council in Arcata, which passed a resolution over a year ago calling for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Dave Meserve, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. The first thing I need to make clear is that I no longer serve on the Arcata Council.
Okay.
But I am proud to have served on it and proud to have sponsored the impeachment, the two impeachment resolutions that we passed. We actually, along with Santa Cruz, also passed one in October of 2004.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recall Santa Cruz was on the leading edge there, and Arcata has been very active in this, and I'm sorry you're no longer on the council, but I accept that correction. And you will be going to Washington tomorrow, and then the event is on Wednesday. Now, last week they had planned to do it on Wednesday, but because of the Virginia Tech tragedy, they postponed it. And also it appears that another reason was that Denis Kucinich has indicated that he is going to submit a bill of impeachment in the House sometime this week. Have you heard that as well?
Yes, I have. So actually, it's quite fortunate for this particular movement that it did get delayed for a week. And I think it's very exciting that Kucinich is going to move ahead with impeachment. And I'm not sure you realize it, but his impeachment is going to be focused on Cheney, which I think is really a brilliant idea in that Cheney is both really the Voldemort of this administration, and also everybody's afraid that if we impeach Bush, we'll end up with Cheney.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good focus, and it allows us to really focus on the ways in which, as you said, Cheney has violated his oath of office, as well as Bush.
So you'll be joined by people like Rocky Anderson. He's the mayor of Salt Lake City. I've never had the opportunity to interview him, but we've been chasing him for months. So if you have a chance to slide up to him, say, Peter B. would like to talk with you, would you?
I'd be glad to. I've heard he's a great speaker.
Yeah. Also, John Shields of Nyack, New York. He's the mayor there. State legislators, including Washington State Senator Eric Omig. City council members, including you. Former government officials Daniel Ellsberg, who released the Pentagon Papers. Army Colonel, retired Colonel Anne Wright, who I've talked to on many occasions. She quit her job at the State Department in protest of the war. And you'll be joined by Chris Hedges, who's a great journalist who's written about the Middle East for many years. Dr. Justin Frank, who wrote Bush on the Couch. We interviewed him. John Nichols from The Nation, who's written a powerful book about impeachment that's currently out on the shelves. Dave Lindorf, who co-authored a book specific to the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. He's a great guy who's been on the show many times. Also with you, Cindy Sheehan, Tina Richards, who is trying very hard to get a meeting with Nancy Pelosi to discuss her son's the order to redeploy to Iraq. Medea Benjamin of Code Pink, Bob Furtick and David Swanson of Democrats.com, and quite a few others. So you're in distinguished company. Tell me what you hope to achieve with this event on Wednesday, Dave Meserve.
Well, I think it's time to really, you know, bring to the forefront of a media that's been really reluctant to report it, the need for impeachment. And as you stated quite clearly, I think, you know, we all elected officials take an oath of office, and that oath of office is to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And right at this moment, it is really our administration, the executive branch of the government, which is the enemy, which is challenging our Constitution. And so it isn't, as you said, it isn't a matter of, well, gee, should we do this or shouldn't we? Is it politically the right time? It's they have violated the law, and they need to be held accountable. They violated not only their oaths of office, but they violated the Constitution in numerous ways. And it's our responsibility as elected officials, former elected officials, and as citizens to hold them accountable and to get them out of office before they can do any more harm. And I think one of the most important things about the timing of this right now is that we really need to weaken this administration as much as possible before they think that they have the ability to somehow attack Iran.
Yeah.
And I think that the timing right now will perhaps enable us to do that. And it's one of the reasons I feel very passionate about going and participating in this event.
And I continue to scratch my bald head, Dave, because I've known Nancy Pelosi for a long time, and I cannot quite figure out what her calculation has been to decide to, quote-unquote, take this off the table. Because even if you look at it only in partisan political terms, as you alluded a moment ago, this would put a leash on this administration. It would put them on notice that we believe they've violated the law and we want to prevent them from any further law breaking. And I think that it would have the desired effect of putting the brakes on adventures in Iran, and also would bring the president perhaps more to terms with the Congress and the American people on the need to end the war in Iraq as soon as possible.
I think you're right. I recently had a conversation with Mike Thompson, our representative up here, and he's very much in Nancy Pelosi's camp. And, you know, we can all be very glad that he is basically opposed to the war, that he has voted against all of the funding except this most recent one. But at the same time, where we really went head-to-head in our discussion was when I said that he really at some point had to vote on the principles of it, I felt, rather than on whether it was doable or not or whether they could get the majority. And I think that's really important. I think it's something Dennis Kucinich has done consistently, as has Woolsey and Lee and John Lewis and so on. And I think that this is a time in history when people need to vote their conscience. If they believe the war should end, they should make it end now. If they believe that the administration has violated the Constitution, they should impeach them. And even if it doesn't happen, they will have spoken from their hearts and from their minds and from their belief in the Constitution.
Yeah. You know, as we're discussing this, I'm thinking of one of the most annoying lines at a cocktail party for me is somebody who brings up a topic and then says, but let's not go there. And to me, impeachment is an obvious, it's obviously being called for by the continued brazen lawbreaking of these individuals. You know, you might take a different tack if you felt that they'd gotten a message, that they were chastened somehow. But Bush's desire to continue to keep Gonzalez in office, even after the very clear lying that he's done under oath, his mismanagement of the department, and more importantly to me, his advocacy of torture as a policy of this government, there is no defense for keeping him in office. Yet, they're planning to try to add more powers for the intelligence czar. They want to expand the wiretapping capabilities. They've tried to paper over the FISA court issues and claim Gonzalez has said that the issue has been resolved and that they're no longer wiretapping without FISA orders. But nobody has explained whether they're being conducted consistent with the constitutional guarantee of probable cause before a search like that. And so they have no intention of disciplining themselves or limiting their grasp for power. And I believe we have no choice. We cannot sit there and say, oh, I don't want to go there.
I think you're right. I think when we first passed an impeachment resolution in October 2004, that was before the NSA surveillance. That was before the suspension of habeas corpus. That was before Abu Ghraib. And yet we saw at that time a need for impeachment based upon the lies that led us into the Iraq war. And I think what we're seeing is an ongoing threat by this administration. Really, it's the undermining of the balance of powers between the branches of government. You know, everyone who goes in elementary school, we're taught about the checks and balances in the three branches of government. That's essential to maintaining a healthy government. And right now we have an executive branch that is running rampant over the other two branches, and that's not the time to say impeachment is off the table or any comments like that.
So have you ever talked impeachment with Thompson?
I did talk impeachment with Thompson about, shortly, I guess it was in late 2005, right before we passed our second resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was a waste of time. It would basically, weaken the Democratic Party. He saw no cause for it, although he agreed that they had violated the Constitution. And I just, we kind of reached an impasse in our discussion because I could see no reason, based upon his beliefs, for him not supporting it.
Yeah.
And yet, when I was asked to try to contact him to sponsor this event, based on my earlier conversations with him, I didn't bother to try because I know he will oppose impeachment.
And to go back to Pelosi for a moment, during the campaign, I gave her kind of a pass on this because I know that Karl Rove would have used it as a powerful weapon to rally Republicans if it had been an open threat by the Democrats. But I felt they should have said that we want accountability up to and including impeachment if we find the evidence to support that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very reasonable way to approach it.
Well, exactly, and I think I think it's a good move for Kucinich. I mean, it will at least someone may hear his name. You know, you see the way he's being entirely shut out by the media from this presidential campaign, and I'm not saying it will make him win the race, but I mean, he needs to get out there and have his name and his views known because they reflect what so many of us believe in. At least compared to the other options that we have.
That's right. Well, Dave Meserve, thanks for joining us today. Have a good trip to Washington, and you are fully deputized to represent me and the listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you very much, Peter. It was a pleasure being on your show.
Nice to talk with you. Dave Meserve, former council member in Arcata, taking the impeachment resolution to Washington for an event at high noon Washington time on Wednesday. We'll return for more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. You want to comment? I'd like to hear your comment. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Let's take a look at traffic as we talk about what's going on. We have a problem in, Snow Grade, southbound 684 Andrade. It's a crash there reported. Also want to take a look at a problem in the Watsonville, Lee Road at Beach Road. Lanes are poorly blocked. CHP is there. And Rio Del Mar, we have a...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. I've been waiting for the right price on a Ricky Martin CD.
She's into superstitions, black cats and voodoo dolls.
And I found it.
I feel a premonition.
$1 got me La Vida Loca.
She's into new sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain.
I got my dollar's worth. Thank you very much, Ricky. Steven Salinas, you're next in the free speech zone. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm thinking the sooner they can impeach Bush, the better. The sooner he's gone, the better, because the longer he stays in office, the more damage he can do.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he gets another Supreme Court appointment? We might never recover from that one.
Yeah, I agree. I'd love to stop him as soon as we can.
And I also believe if they did a thorough investigation of who knew and did what before 9/11, who knew and didn't said what before going into Iraq, I don't think it'd be necessary to impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be out of here.
Well, you make a very strong point that if we were in possession of all the facts that should have come out of the investigations that were hobbled by the Bush administration, particularly the 9/11 Commission, which never had the opportunity to really dig for the truth, he opposed every step of their creation and process. And, you know, they came out with a whitewash report. It was just what he wanted.
I can see one last seven, you know, Air Force One flight to Paraguay, and that's it.
We can dream about that.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, Susan in Santa Cruz, you're next. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good. I hope you can hear me because I'm on my cell phone.
You sound just fine, like you're right next door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about stuff. I happened to mention... something, maybe the Gonzalez thing, to a friend the other day. And said, did you hear blah, blah? And he went, oh, that stuff? I don't pay any attention to that. And so this is a call out there to all of my wonderful spiritual friends. I consider myself a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time of my life, I'd say about 30 years, where I went to sleep into spirituality and away from politics.
It is a great escape for many people.
Yeah, but, you know, all the great leaders were spiritual people. Jesus was spiritual/political.
Mm-hmm.
Gandhi was spiritual/political. Martin Luther King, etc. They were all great spiritual leaders. And it seems to me that what's going on now, it's not just a matter of politics, in quotes, it's really a battle for the heart and soul of this planet. It's so far-reaching. The consequences of the things that the administration does are just so far-reaching.
Yeah.
Nothing that happens now is small. And every day more things happen than what happened in years and years and years before.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will agree with you, because when I first heard what you were saying, I said, well, that's a little expansive. But it really is an issue now that the U.S. Intransigence on global warming does threaten the planet. And our foreign policy with unilateralism and this military propagation of a message of liberty and freedom is really poisoning our relationships, not only in the Middle East, but in other parts of the world.
Well, it's not just poisoning our relationships. I think it's poisoning us as beings.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can poison a soul, but every single day, all of these things are going on in our name, and all kinds of neglect is going on in our name as well as perpetrations. So it to me, it's really very, very big, and I don't know that any one of us can do anything much to prevent or take care of the problem. But without paying attention to it, we are really doing very much what the Germans did in the 30s, in the early 40s, when they turned their heads the other way.
And it's what Bush is counting on, that he can distract us with gay marriage and a few other hateful diversions while bankrupting the country and taking us on these adventures that only really bring us down in stature and make us the barbarists of the world. Barbarians.
The world.
That's
absolutely
the word I wanted.
Barbarians.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
All right, Dennis, King City, you're next here on the PBC show.
Hey, Peter, I hate to bump heads with you, but I'm going to.
Oh, please.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take Eric's position on your first hour guest.
Uh-huh.
Okay. My feeling is we all know there's no more depression worse than a loss of a child. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the picture of this sick man, sick boy, or sick puppy, you realize there wasn't much that could have stopped him, except if people listened to that one teacher that spotted the trouble. You know, the one teacher that spotted him and turned him in for mental reasons. Now, they didn't show the actual shooting. If they did, I'd say, no, don't show this.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did, it gave us a profile of what to look for. It says, look out for this quiet guy, doesn't give you eye contact, doesn't get involved with anybody else, keeps to himself. This should be the red flag that's raised up. So I looked at it as a positive thing mm-hmm. to alert students to say, watch out for this type of character.
All right. Well, Dennis, I'm tight for time. I understand your point, and I don't really dispute it. My issue is the timing. NBC did not have to release that tape last week. And, at any time in the future after some of the grieving has passed and the pain and suffering is lessened to some extent, to take a look at that guy and what motivated him and the message that he left and all that could be appropriate. But I believe it was highly exploitive, it was inflammatory, it was adding gasoline to a fire that was already burning, and I think it was irresponsible, mostly for the timing.
When was the timing going to be right?
Give me a week or two. All right, I got to run, Dennis. I thank you for the call, and you're always welcome to disagree with your humble host. I'm going to go out instead of with Happy Trails today, the Code Pink Chorus.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. 9 American soldiers on patrol in Iraq are dead, 20 of their task force lightning comrades injured after being hit by a suicide bomber in the Diyala section of Iraq. This is CBS News military consultant Mike Lyons.
The car bomb remains the number one weapon of choice for the terrorist. It creates a tremendous amount of damage, collateral damage, and causes this kind of death and destruction that the military really doesn't have an answer for, except for just putting more space and distance between themselves and the civilian population.
Also today, close to 50 Iraqis were killed by other car bombs around Iraq. President Bush is warning Congress not to set deadlines for troop withdrawal.
No matter how tough it may look, that for the Congress to micromanage this process is a mistake.
The Democratic majority in Congress wants to attach troop withdrawal deadline strings to Iraq funding. The top man in Iraq, General Petraeus, comes to Washington this week to meet with the president.
It's a tough time there. The general will tell the Congress. He's here not only to check in with with me and other members of my team, but also he'll be going up to the Hill.
And on the Hill, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is not backing down from his deadline stance.
He seems more interested in sound bites than sound policy, and his record shows it.
That funding bill will likely clear the House and the Senate this week. Acclaimed writer David Halverson is dead after a car accident in San Mateo, California. His wife, Jean, tells CBS News she's stunned.
He never tired of learning. And what a great life to have.
Halverson was a passenger in that car.
Mr. Halverson was removed from the vehicle by first responders and pronounced dead at the scene.
That's County Coroner Robert Folkralt. Halverson covered the Vietnam War for the New York Times and wrote such books as The Best and the Brightest and The Powers That Be. He won the Pulitzer Prize at 30. The University of California, Susan Raske, says Halverson was the gold standard when it came to reporting.
Political reporters regard David Halverson as something of an icon.
Halverson was 73 years old. It's back to school for students at Virginia Tech a week after a gunman killed 32 people on campus and then killed himself.
This is Jim Kretzul in Blacksburg, Virginia. For many Virginia Tech students,